In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning brings to mind a rather minor celebrity. If you're old enough, you may remember seeing him about 15 or 20 years ago at all major sporting events or any place where large crowds of people were gathered. Well, maybe I ought to just show you. You guys remember him, right? He was everywhere. Anytime there was a crowd gathered, he found a way to get in front of a TV camera and hold up his sign. I assume he had to have been a man of some means, because he was at Super Bowls, he was at the World Series, he was at golf tournaments, he was everywhere where there was a crowd, somewhere where he could hold up this sign, John 3:16. He found ways to make sure that he was in a position so that he would be on the television cameras. So what was it that he cared about so deeply that he wanted to show it to the world? His sign simply read John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." These may be the most important words in all of Scripture. According to John's gospel account, Jesus spoke these words himself as he explained to his followers that he must die and ascend to heaven, and that all who believe in him may have eternal life. The Jewish people of the day often believed that God was a vengeful God and that he would exact wrath on those that didn't successfully follow all of his commandments. But Jesus told them, and he tells me and you, that God is the God of love and that he loved the world so much that he was even willing to sacrifice his son to show that great love. Contrary to what they may have believed, Jesus, God incarnate, came not to condemn them, but that they may be saved by God's infinite love. God so loved the world. God so loves the world. God so loves you and me that he gave the most precious gift of all, a gift that we don't deserve, that we could never earn. It's the gift of pure grace. As Paul says in our reading from Ephesians, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." It is a gift. God's love is a gift for the whole world. God's love is for all of humankind. There is not any human being that is not the beloved of God. God sees the potential in even the most despicable of people, and he loves them anyway. God knows the most awful things about me and the most awful things about you, and yet He never ceases to love us in spite of all the ways that we fall short. My friends, you and I are called to do what our friend with the funny wig used to do. I don't think we're called to put on a multicolored wig and hold up signs reminding people to read John 3:16. But we are called to proclaim the love of God in Christ in our own context. As we emphasize here at St. Luke's, we are to become beloved community. One of the ways that we do that is by trying to help others to realize that they too are the beloved of Christ. We don't need to do that with signs or wigs. We do it by loving all the children of God, where we find them and how we find them. I've often said that my only job is to love the people of God that God has given me to serve, and then to allow them to love me back. Allowing others to love us back can sometimes be the scary part. In order to let someone love you, you must first allow yourself to become vulnerable. Becoming beloved community is not just about loving those that we invite anew to enter into this community. It's also about loving those that have been here for a long time. It's loving those that are close enough and familiar enough that it can be easy to overlook them. And it's about being vulnerable enough to let our brothers and sisters know when we are hurting, so that they can keep us in prayer or they can reach out to us in meaningful ways. If we are to be the body of Christ in this place, each of us must feel that those sitting in the pews next to us or behind us are there when we need them. We are to be the hands and the feet of Christ to bind up the brokenhearted and to bring healing to those who are hurting. And we are to model for others that it's okay to allow ourselves to be ministered to when we are the ones that are broken. To that end, I admit to you this morning that my emotions are right on the surface. On Friday, my siblings and I learned that our little sister has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. We need your prayers for our family as we begin to discern how we may best support her and her family as they begin to navigate what is a frightening diagnosis. I'm leaving right after church this morning to go to Maryland, because I need to hug my sister and her husband. She is on our prayer list and will remain so. And I thank you for your prayers. Please know that I share this news with you this morning because I believe that if I expect you to allow me to assist you with your brokenness, then I must also trust you to walk with me in mine. The body of Christ in this place is indeed beloved community. We know and we gladly proclaim that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That is something to shout about. That's something to tell the world about. We get to love others in his name because he first loved us. God so loved you. God so loved me even me. Wow. Maybe we should indeed put up signs and colorful wigs so that the world may take notice. Amen.